I'd like to call this meeting of the Budget Committee meeting for the City of Junction City for Thursday, April 27th, 2023, at 6:30 PM. First of all, are the, any committee members have a conflict, any either a potential or actual conflict of interest?
I have a potential conflict of interest. My brother-in-law is a Public Works employee.
Okay, and would you say that's a potential or an actual?
Potential.
Okay. Are there any others? Okay. With that, next item on the agenda would be the approval of the minutes of the April 20th, 2023 meeting.
I make a motion to approve the April 20th, 2023 minutes.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made by Committee Member James Huckel, seconded by Councilor Leach to approve the minutes of the 4/20/2023 meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Are there any public comments at tonight's meeting?
I have a couple. Next week, just letting you know, I'll be watching online. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and her mom's heading up north for family reunion or something like that. So hopefully I'll be able to watch online. Just want to let you know that I'll be watching online next week. Number two, as in regard to last week's budget on the police, which has been debates within the last couple years, I just want to say, I'm on the Ministerial Association, the pastors in the town, and what we do, once a month, we pray for the peace and prosperity of Junction City. And this last week, I was able to go back and say, our city council, or our budget committee, we had both a peaceful and a prosperous budget city for next year, with everyone that, at least that I saw, was fully on board to help the new chief of police, whatever he wanted. And I just wanted to say, that was, to me, that was a good sign that there's peace and prosperity. And I got to tell that with lots of people. It was a good thing.
Thank you for those comments. Any other public comments this evening? Seeing none, is there any follow-up from previous meetings?
Yes, sir. So everybody should have, as part of their packet, the updated police department, speaking of employees, the changes we talked about at the last meeting. Just wanted to kind of go over those real quick and see if there's any questions. You'll see, starting from the beginning on first page on line 7, you'll see the addition of the $66,000 for the SRO in patrol. You'll see on the second page under dispatch, line 63 through 70 of change. That was to reflect the sixth dispatcher that we talked about. The third page under administration, you'll see two new lines, the $5,000 on line 144 for the operating materials and supplies, and line 153 for the volunteer and reserve program costs for $30,000. And which then everything gets said and done, you'll see on the fourth page, line 53, the new unappropriated ending fund balance is $564,000. So if you add back in the transfers to the court funds, you'll still see we're still balanced within the fund. So that doesn't change where we're at, but that's just kind of the new net there. We're still well above the $400,000 minimum fund balance that we have to have in the department. And then on the capital, for the police projects capital, line 1, we're adjusting the beginning fund balance down based on some operational needs for this year. Doesn't impact anything going on in the fund, but we did make that number, so we're trying to reflect what we believe is going to be the most accurate going forward. Questions?
Any questions for anybody of those online? Thank you, Administrator Canoe. Okay, so now we want to go forward with our review and discussion of this week on the proposed fiscal 23-24 budget. And I guess, Director Crocker, you're going to start first with finance, is that where?
So I'll go over finance and court, non-departmental, and the budget stabilization fund. So on page 65, section 4, page 65, that's the finance narrative. So it's been a very busy year for finance. The dust is still settling, but you've all heard about our software project, and I can't begin to explain how much stress that caused. But anyway, so it's been quite a year, and it's great to be through it. So that's listed in our accomplishments among the usuals. There's also the online payment system, which benefits utility billing for the most part, but it was expanded to the rest of the city. On the next page, employee self-service was also part of that same conversion, and that gives us the ability to have employees use an online time clock and also have access to their own information like paycheck stubs and W-2s. So that kind of gets us into the current century is basically what it's doing. So it's very cool features. Another thing, electronic content management, that basically takes us from a paper-based system to the ability to just keep everything electronically filed in that same database. So we've converted payroll, accounts payable, general ledger. Really the only major area that isn't completely paperless is cash receipts. And we expect to do that sometime in the next 6 months, but we're taking a little bit of a breather. So it's been a very busy year. For HR on the next page, of course, this all affected HR in similar ways. They also have, in addition to the main software, they have an online application software now that is in use, and we've started using it just a month or so ago, and that's been very nice. It's been very nice to see HR, the operations smooth out, and positions like your seasonal positions getting filled. So that's been really nice to see. On page 69, so the finance summary table there, you'll see, so the beginning fund balance, and you see if you look across the years, they're not, the 2023 is a budget number, the 48,000, but that's not very comparable to the actual numbers. So what you're going to see, and on the five-year forecast on the next page, is the fund balance in this kind of gradual curve upward. If you just, without leaving that page, look on page 71, the ending fund balance, which is the second line from the bottom, you see these numbers that with this gradual increase through over the next 5 years. If you look at the current year, so in the middle of the chart, that yellow titled column, and then from there to the right, you see 105, 121, 138. So, that's a good line to look at in these forecasts in these operating departments. You can see that in every operating department, and you're going to see a similar trend like that, because the operating departments are, I think budget-wise, they're very healthy. And so there are a couple of exceptions, but not much. Courts, but the only one that really comes to mind. Back on the last page, so personnel expenses. So $444,000 this year, $362,000 last year. The main difference is a proposed accounting tech position. Operationally, finance is, I think, in the services that we're providing and the needs are expanding. There are some things that we're kind of absorbing in from other departments, because it's just more efficient for one department to do those functions. So that's part of the need for that position. So that would take us from a staffing level of 3 to 4 in finance. Contingency, if you're wondering why that changed. So this year I've got $14,000 for contingency, and last year this schedule shows $2,000. But what happens there is in the 22-23 budget, the current year, the directions from the state are that you put in the most recent budget with any changes. So since we processed a contingency transfer that council adopted, then that number is actually, you know, it's gone down. The actual number has gone down, but the adopted number from last year was actually $8,000. So anyway, I just didn't want that to look like an anomaly or some weird trend. Let's see, turning the page. Let's see, we talked about that page. Going to page 72. You can see the detail, like in personnel, lines 9 through 16 on the left there. There's the detail of those changes that are reflecting that change for an accounting tech. Turning to page, so I've got the capital projects for this fund landed in the wrong place. They're actually on page 79. Back a couple of pages. So finance, capital projects, the only significant thing here is line 8. So potentially what we're thinking is that we may want to look at a piece of budgeting software. Right now there's an awful lot of this budget process that's done manually in Excel, and so we're just kind of looking forward. Right now, this isn't really like planned out, like we haven't picked a piece of software, but potentially, and we may want to bring that back to council to look at. So, and then there's a transfer into this fund, because we do want to keep building the fund. Going back to court, just back one page, I guess. Page 77. So as was mentioned, the revenue in this chart here includes $175,000 transfer from the police fund. Everything else, you know, is pretty steady. The $175,000, as you can see, makes quite a change to this fund and basically writes the fund. So there is an alternate route that we could have taken. We could have come and proposed a change to the allocation in revenue, property taxes and general revenue, which would could accomplish the same thing. This is much quicker, and so because we kind of early on we realized where we saw the police fund landing, and anyway, and then turning a couple of pages in revenue and court, page 80. So you can see that it starts with a beginning fund balance of negative $158,000. I actually do anticipate that coming out a little better. So that's based on the results of operations for this year that we're in. So I'm hoping for a little bit better, but not a whole lot. The court fines, you notice that I budgeted $80,000. So the estimated actuals for this year that we're in are probably gonna be a little under that. So, and you can see the track record. We had $86,000 before that. So $80,000 seemed like more of a reasonable number rather than trying to hope and dream for something more. So, as always, we're conservative with revenue. And then the only other things down below in the expenses, Relatively small changes, but down in M&S, the main changes are lines 39 and 46, professional services for the judge's contract and the prosecuting attorney's contracts. Those are creeping up, and of course, council approved a change to the judge's contract already. So that's court. And then flipping a few pages to non-departmental, page 91. So 91, line 8, you see total property taxes, $3.5 million. So that's an increase of $124,000 over the budget for last year. And you see that $3,416,000 was budgeted last year. For the year that we're in right now. And I looked up the estimated actual to see where I think we're probably gonna land this year. And we're looking at most likely about $3,417,000.
That's good.
So that's gonna be a, very possibly could be a bullseye as far as budgeting goes. Down to general revenue, line 22, just looking at the total there, $428,000, increase of $45,000. The estimated actual this year, we budgeted, the reason we budgeted that high was because the estimated actual appears to be 416 this year. So by June 30th, we're expecting that much, and we only budgeted 382. So that will be nice to realize. Down a few lines, you'll see across all the funds, line 28, interest is up. That's kind of a hopeful number. We never really know. Based on what we're currently getting, you know, it's a reasonable number, but there is always a risk that things could change, and that's a bit less. Down on line 46, planning, you notice that's a little less than last year. And the reason is we adjusted that based on the needs of the planning function, planning department. So that's really the only reason why that went down. And then from there, you see in transfers line, the transfer to building, replacement fund, the interfund loan to sanitation. And then on the top of the next page, you see the transfer to the budget stabilization fund. And so those are pretty standard transfers, with the exception of the interfund loan to sanitation, which Gary will talk about next week. And then that gives you an ending fund balance of $1,519,000. If you add back the interfund loan, that would bring that ending fund balance to $1,769,000. And if you compare that to the beginning fund balance, it's right on target, it's just a few thousand dollars more. So. And then the last fund that I was going to mention to you, you don't even have to turn there, but way back, the budget stabilization fund on 241. So if you remember us talking about that, about this fund, so this is the rainy day fund, basically a long range or long term reserve. Typically, it's used for, say, some kind of large emergency in the city, and council could access this money. So the goal is to keep increasing this fund and get it up to, you know, an amount that you know, could be useful in terms of an emergency. And it could be a budget emergency too, if something happened, the economy really changed. You know, council could choose to use it for something just related to measures. Anyway, so that's all I have. If there's any questions about that part?
About the total property taxes, we were talking last week about the apartments on 18th, Line Safeway, and that they didn't get billed the proper amount for property taxes.
Right.
Do you anticipate any change for this coming year?
Well,
any income?
Well, as far as, you know, if you ask me and we're discussing it, yeah, I've told you what I know, and what the county has told me, but I didn't budget anything, you know, in anticipation of that. I mean, the budget committee, you know, could choose to direct staff to add something in, you know, in anticipation of that. I could check in with the county and see what's progressed on that. That's a definitely an anomaly. You know, you don't get those kinds of things very often.
So we don't want to budget for anything, that's what you're saying?
I'm not saying we don't want to. I'm saying we didn't. Staff didn't make a proposal.
Right.
But, you know, council or budget committee could choose to.
I think from staff standpoint, I prefer to see us not budget for it and have extra versus budget for it and then something happened and we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather go the other way around. Mike could give me less grief that way.
Well, it makes me less nervous.
So I think we talked last week about choosing to do the one-time transfer from the police department of 175 rather than change the percentage out of property taxes for the courts. So when I'm looking at page 80 for courts, and it looks like we have consistently about on line 22, 75,000, what we've budgeted for. We've consistently put about 15,000 into court-appointed fees on line 31. 39, 40,800 for judge contracts, and then 46 for prosecuting attorney's fees. So just the personnel and those three line items came out to be 189,500. Do we think that we will be able to cover that in courts going forward, or will we continue to pull from police?
No, we're not going to pull from the police going forward, because if you look at it, you have to take the fines plus the revenue.
Oh, okay. So we think that,
because if you look at like the 80,000 in the fines plus the 138, almost 139 for property taxes plus another 17 for the general revenue, we're above that.
We'll think we'll be able to cover it going forward.
Yeah.
Okay. It seemed like they were large dollar amounts, so those are the ones that jumped out at me.
Especially with the department now getting back up to full staff, I would expect to see, just by the nature of what they do, more to coming into to the court, and
perfect,
therefore more fines.
Okay.
By the nature of going from six people to back up to nine.
Right.
And hopefully 10.
Hopefully 10, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to answer for you.
And I will also reverse the trend that we've been starting out with a negative fund balance too.
Right.
And I think once we get that solved, it will put us in a much better shape going forward.
Perfect.
But good, great question.
I think I know the answer, but Mike, can you tell me about the budget award that we got for the Government Finance Officers Association?
Well, that's the award for the budget document. So we submit this document for review to GFOA. GFOA is the national, I think it's U.S. and Canada, I think. I know it's at least those two, anyway. Association for Finance Officers. So it's a very large program, very large organization. Virtually every city in the country belongs to it, at least of our size and up. So it's a rigorous review. Other finance directors from other states review our document and give me feedback, and they're not easy on us either. So,
Mike, are you the lead on that?
Well, I'm the person that submits the document. And plus, I also review.
This is your baby all the way around.
Well, thank you, Mike. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. It keeps us going in the right direction and making improvements on it. So.
I just have a couple of quick questions. First of all, I love the budget. I really enjoy the ending fund balances, as you mentioned at the beginning. It is just a quick snapshot for that account, so I really like that. If we look at page 72, I've got a problem. Was that my microphone?
you're on, so.
You're on.
So page 72.
Somebody's not.
Apparently I'm having a short circuit tonight.
I had no idea.
My backyard.
Safe to continue.
72.
72.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If we look at the ending fund balance, I just want to make sure that I am understanding this correctly. So if we look at 2021, the actual was 66,877. And then if we look at the next year, at the beginning fund balance, that matches. So I really like that. But then as we go to the ending fund balance for that year, it came at 56,039. And then the adopted budget being at 48,800. And I'm assuming that's because we certainly didn't know the actuals when we created the budget that had to be adopted, right? That's why there's a difference in those two numbers. Mm-hmm. All right. So my question is, where does that money go? Does it go to the general fund then, since we actually had more as an actual, or how does it flow?
Okay, that's an easy question.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
The idea of these departmental budgets is that they are responsible for their own fund. Anything that they don't spend that's or budgeted as unappropriate ending fund balance, it stays in that fund. So it rolls over. One good example of something that rolls over, so anything that they don't use, like in their expenditures, but also things like contingency, if they don't use their contingency, which for the most part, we don't. So you'll see that roll over in every operating fund. So that benefits that beginning fund balance for the next year.
Let me take another run at this to make sure I get this clear. So if you look at 21-22, the ending fund balance was 56,039, right?
Okay.
But the adopted for 22-23, the beginning fund balance was 48,800, so less than the ending.
Yeah. So what you're looking at is we're trying to crystal ball it.
Yeah, of course.
And so we're saying, as we're doing right now, we're saying, like in the case of this, what we're looking at, we're saying we think we're going to start at 103.
Right.
Which is
exactly.
That's our best guess 6 months into the budget. So by trying to, for us putting an ending fund balance for the end of this proposed budget, mm-hmm. we're trying to forecast downrange 18 months out what we think.
Agreed.
So there's a couple of things that could change. We could have more expenditures or less. Because when your department head put together their budget, there's a column you don't see here that's basically we're saying, what do we think mm-hmm. the line's going to end at? So based on that, we think this is what our ending fund balance
absolutely.
Is going to be. And that could change a little bit depending on what happens in the last 3 to 6 months of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing here in the case of like this is something happening.
What's your best guess
a little more.
At that point as to what it's going to be? And you're being conservative, which you should be. So
correct. Yeah. And that's what I said, was our best guess. And you're looking at actual versus adopted too.
No, I know. Yeah, so I saw that. And I'm sure that was it. But what I wasn't sure about was once you get the actual figures and we're already into the next fiscal year, does that actual figure just go into the adopted budget? Even though we adopted 48,000, do you end up getting more money than that?
If you look at like the report that Mike puts out, you'll see where that number gets changed in there. And that's how it gets reflected.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I told you that one wouldn't be tough. And then, so for the courts, I was trying to drill down on this just a little bit. And by the way, I thought the $175,000 transfer was a good idea because the police department ending fund balance is still at, what, $600,000. They only needed $400,000. So we haven't hurt the police department at all. And it kind of right-sizes the court. And I'm assuming that that's really dependent upon the activity of the police department because that's the only way our court really has to generate that significant amount of revenue, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's the only revenue the court gets through those.
And so sorry, Jason. But as I looked at this, it looks like we actually probably started declining back in 2019 because of 2020 would be a carryover. So it's been several years.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's been more than 2019, but yes, it's been several years.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah.
That was all I had.
Any other questions on court, finance, state revenue share, or non-departmental? Doesn't seem to be any online, and we're okay here, so Administrator Canope, we'll turn the...
All righty, so I get a bunch of other ones I'm going to go through for everybody. I've got administration, and I'll be doing community services, and then there's several other funds and general funds that I'll be going through. So at any point, if you've got questions, feel free to holler out. We're going to start with administration, which starts on page 83. Admin really is, quite honestly, stuff the city does more often than not. Administration, we kind of backfill a lot of things, but our primary focus right now is the records retention, all the records work that both Kitty and Terry do. This year, we're not looking at a ton of changes. Pretty much business as usual for us. You go through the accomplishments, you'll see a lot of them are, like I said, related to the works of what Kitty and Terry do. You'll see, quite honestly, if you're looking at performance measures on page 85, a lot of those, and you see that, you know, quite a bit of work that gets done. I'm not going to go into them too much, but if there are questions on those, please feel free to let me know. And I'm just going to jump right to page 89 and start in on the fund itself. So you'll notice line 17, the total personnel services went up a little bit. What we're seeing this year is the admin aid position was doing planning work. But as of starting as of July 1, she is shifting back to completely to administration, but going from 5 days a week down to 4 days a week. So that increases that change. Gary will be talking about how the planning stuff will be taken care of next week, but that's all covered internally, so you'll see some increases on their side. Overall, not a huge change for us, but that's why that line went up. You'll see line 28 is a new line for us. We added the pool car, the fleet car, but realized we didn't have a line to put gas in it. So we thought maybe we might want to add a line in there, but put some in there. We don't use it a lot, but it does get used some. The other big change is going to be is line 42. We had some special projects that we kind of were working on, so that's why it went from 14,000 this year to 3,000 in the proposed. Same with special projects, we went from 52 to 30 on line 45. Again, completed some special projects, and 30 is more of the kind of more of what we regularly budget in that line based on things coming up through the year. Line 50, you'll see the transfers to capital projects funds went down a bunch, went from 145 down to 40,000. 40,000 is more of what we actually need to fund our CEP going forward. So previous couple of years, we were just trying to build up some fund balance and take care of some computer projects. So it's, you know, that's why we're back down to 40,000. We try to be mindful of what we do because we know all of the cost for this fund gets billed out to the other departments, so we want to make sure we're keeping it to what it actually needs to be. And so that way we're not placing a whole lot of burden on anyone else. Questions so far on administration?
I'm not sure this is administration, but I just want to know about the building that we were going to do. We were going to have for business, but it's kind of like by City Hall, just outside of City Hall. The two big windows, the windows that we purchased that and we were going to do rent it out for small businesses. So,
unfortunately, the city, when they chose to purchase the building, did not. All that money was purchased through the police grant, so the front of that cannot be used for small businesses unless the city, out of general fund, reimburses the grant for the front half of that building at this time.
So the front of the building, that front of the building has to do have something to do with the police department.
Correct.
So like window dressing, I mean, we could have prison uniforms, people in
sure.
Mannequins.
Come up with some creative things, for sure. But yeah.
I see. I was curious.
That's just where it's at this point, just because of that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And for the committee members, so you understand, that money came to us from the state, and it was dedicated for improving our police facilities. Just like we have the same thing for our community services building over there. So that's why the funds, as Administrator Crone stated, has to stay as it came, or as we only applied for, we have to also use it that way.
Yep. Okay. The only other thing to do would be to, like I said, reimburse.
Correct.
To out of general fund to basically buy it from the police department is what it boiled down to. And And it would actually require giving them money back to the state now. I have a hard time doing that, giving money back. So. Okay, going to bounce to page 93. That's the admin capital projects. You'll see in here, pretty much what you'll see is lines 42 through 46. That's all of our computer-related stuff that covers for all departments, not just administration. That's citywide, that's police, that's public works. That covers all of that. That's what those lines are there for. You see, we're kind of holding steady on our fund balance at this point, going up a little bit, but pretty much holding even. Questions on the capital projects? Pretty dry. So unless there's any questions, we're just going to bounce right into the community services on page, we'll start on page 118. So to kind of recap for community services, for folks to keep in mind, community services get 22% of the property taxes and general revenue. From there, that 22% is split between the community center, senior center, library, parks, and pool. I'll be talking about tonight everything but parks. Gary will cover parks next week since Public Works is pretty much responsible for parks. So with that, this time around, I'm not as happy with community services as I could be. Everything balances, for all intents and purposes, everything is fully funded. There's going to be some long-term issues to look at within community services because there are some competing desires. As we get to it, I'll point this out in the two funds where we're having issues figuring out the right balance, is the library and the senior center. I'll make sure to cover those when we get there, but you'll notice in the senior center, there is no property taxes or general revenue going into the senior center fund. That in short is because they have a really high beginning fund balance. We've taken the labor out of it, moved it into the community center, community services in general. So their overall expenses is pretty low. So they have they don't need a lot in the way of financial support right now. It's not a long-term solution, but it gives us a year or two to figure out what we want to do as a long-term solution. So I want to point that out, that it is there, not super happy with it, but. Anyway, that said, going to jump right into the community center itself. So this year, basically what we're doing is we're taking what used to be the senior center coordinate or senior center aid position, moving it under the community services umbrella, the community center. The intent behind that is to give Shelley, who is our coordinator, extra resources to make sure we can continue to backfill and help the program still function. Whether it's the library, whether it's community center, whether it's the senior center, wherever that help is needed. Gives us a little, makes us a little more nimble, able to backfill as needed. Right now, I know like Shelley probably spends about one day a week down with the senior center helping out for one thing or another, because like I say, some volunteers call in, sit, whatever the case may be. So she knows she has that resource, but right now she feels pretty confident that she can handle it. But I want to make sure we have something just in case, because, yeah, you never know.
Jason, just want to let you sure. know, we have a lot of ladies in the church volunteer at the Tuesday and Friday soup thing, and they all speak very highly of that gal.
Yeah, Shelley is awesome. I'm really happy to have her as part of our community services. She's definitely has the right temperament, and she really seems to enjoy what she does. So, but I'll make sure to pass that on to her.
Please do.
Okay, so we'll kind of jump right into the community center fund, page 124. You'll see line one, our beginning fund balance. We're sitting at about, we're thinking we're going to be at about 94,000 round numbers, 93.9. When you go back several years, where that used to be, it was much lower. So it's nice to see that to be a healthier balance. You'll see our continued transfer on line three from state revenue sharing, and that's to help with campers who may not be able to afford our summer camp and our spring break camp. We continue to use that every year. The programs continue to grow, so super happy there. Just kind of running right down, you'll see their share on lines 14 and 15. That's this, their share of the general revenue and property taxes. Went up a little bit this year, but if you look at line 26, that you'll see the personnel services went up, and that's that quarter FTE left over from the senior center. So that, so there, everything went up to cover that is what it boiled down to. As far as materials and services, we're pretty much holding the line there. We're not doing anything super, super big. What you're hearing to see on line 38, a little more for our instructor fees. Business is starting to pick up slowly but surely over there. It just keeps, you know, keep getting more and more folks interested in what we're doing. Then you'll see the transfer to the Community Projects Capital Fund on line 61. Again, we're just still holding that line at that 5,000. We feel that we're pretty comfortable with that number as far as what they need over there. And you'll see our unappropriated ending fund balance is at 94, so we're going up just a little bit each year. Questions on the main fund? Okay. So page 126, I just want to follow up with what Mayor Wells had mentioned. You'll see this is the Community Center Capital Projects Fund. Line 10, that's the money we receive from the state to do improvements at the community center. We currently have an RFP underway, so we're hoping to get that the professionals we need on board to start that project to look at, quite frankly, trying to get the ball rolling after festival this year and get done before festival next year. That's the goal. Don't know specifically what the project's going to be necessarily. That's part of why we're bringing in some design consultants, but a lot of it is finishing up dealing with things in the building that before it became a community center didn't get done due to time and budget constraints. So, and then there's a list of some other stuff that we've come through the projects over the years that we could make some other improvements to make it a little nicer facility over there. Other than that, don't have a whole lot in CEP or building projects. We always carry a little bit extra there in building projects for the community center, quite honestly, due to the roof. The multiple peak roof every year seems to have some kind of issue. I'm not sure why someone thought that was a great design idea, but here we are. So we've been bit enough times where we just carry some now just in case. Questions on the capital projects for community center? Okay. There. So okay, we'll move on to the Viking South Senior Center. As we already heard, they're operating their programs 2 days a week for the meals. Starting to see more and more like of the reservations and the other uses for the senior center. We've been working diligently trying to make sure we're supporting the board to help them with what they need as far as whatever their goal is. Just really want to take a moment to highlight that this isn't a city-run program. This is a city-supported program. The difference with that is the city, we don't do anything with programming. They have the Senior Center Advisory Board, and we just help them how we can, but we stay out of their way because they know what they want to do. And that's just kind of it. We just had someone who was upset that they didn't have soup on a Friday, and it's like, we don't do the programming. So we had to help them get in the right direction to chat with the board. That was probably one of the strangest first thing Monday morning things I've had in a while. But okay, that's a good way, soft start to the week. But so we were working there with them. So kind of we go to page 132. You'll see the beginning fund balance for the department is $128,700. What had happened and how we got there with these guys, because you look back a couple of years, we were at $30,000. Pandemic hit, we continued to put money in from the staffing standpoint, which helped build that fund balance.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is based on that and their other stuff, we took away the labor, and you'll notice on line 25, that went from $53,000 down to $800,000. So we took away a majority of the expenses. And if you look at their materials and services, they fundraise most of that, so there's not a whole lot that's needed from the city to help keep them going. So we figured with that $128,000 beginning fund balance, we could easily work on that, off of that for a year or two and not harm their program. We figure that's about $20K a year is what the city does for support of the program once you back everything out. So at that $20K a year max, it was $128 in there. We, even if it got down to 70, 80, we're still way above the fund balance minimum. So.
Are they aware of
yes.
this? Okay.
Yeah.
And they feel confident that they're able to make adjustments? Or do they?
Long and short is they're fine.
It's
one of those, when they look at the budget, they look at, they can spend what they bring in. They don't really look at the rest of that support piece.
Right.
They say, we just take care of that for them. They look at, hey, we made $5,000, so we're putting that $5,000 we made into this program.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Sometimes I've tried to explain budget to them, and they just,
yeah,
they're like, yeah, thanks.
It's not for everyone, for sure.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
But yeah, they're as long as we're not touching what their lines are, they're fine. That's my new word for the day. Of course, everybody would always like to have more money.
Absolutely.
But I do want to point out, though, the Line 37 is a grant that is an expenditure side of a grant that they actually got with staff help to redo some the door down there and some other interior stuff to help improve their facility a little bit there.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was like a, what was it? How much was that grant? Yeah, it was like a almost $15,000-$20,000 grant. I mean, it was a good chunk of change for what they wanted to do.
Yeah, we don't even own any part of that building, do we?
No, we don't own the building, but the uniqueness of the agreement is that the city is responsible for maintenance of the building.
Okay.
So we do have some responsibility there, but yeah, we don't own the building. It still belongs to the Festival Association.
Thanks.
So, and they're a good group to work with. They've been very understanding and helping us all try to kind of get to that same end goal. So, I'm very, very happy with how that's been working. So, you'll notice line 29, the administrative charges went down significantly. That's because we moved staff. Because our administrative charges, a lot of that is based on staff, number of bodies in a department. But other than that, it's pretty much, I don't want to say holding the line, but that's where they're at. They haven't made any indication like they're going to try to add more days or anything of that nature where there would be an expenditure increase. They feel pretty comfortable where they're at. So don't expect a whole lot different than what they're doing this year. So.
I hear a lot about the Cafe 60 from the gals at the church, and for some of those people, Tuesday and Friday are the highlights of their week when they get to go and have lunch there and sit around and solve the world's problems. So that's just a great. Well, we have lots of seniors in the church or in the church, and lots of seniors in the city, and to keep them happy, again, go solve the world's problems and eat a very, very extremely reasonably priced meal on Tuesday and Friday. It's great for the city.
Mm-hmm. You have to get there early because they will, like you said, solve the world's problems. But, I mean, they get their tables ready for cards, dice, whatever. And you might have to stand to eat if you don't get there early and get a table.
Right.
I've learned from experience.
Goodness. Questions on Senior Center? Okay. Room 34 is their capital projects. And this is kind of back into the budget piece. So they have line 27, $20,000 set aside for CEP projects. This line, we continue to work with them to help them realize they actually have extra money saved. So if they want to replace some things, they actually have the ability to do so. been a little bit of a challenge because typically we don't find out about it until after they're done. So, which is great, but it's just like, you guys have this, you know, this chunk of change. So I continue to set it aside, hoping eventually they'll use it. And I couldn't tell you what for, but I know that a lot of times, like with their kitchen, replacing the equipment in there, the commercial freezer, commercial refrigerator, stuff like that, that's starting to get older that I can easily imagine being replaced. And I know they're always looking for more storage space with the Meals on Wheels program and stuff like that. So, but even though it says CEP, there isn't actually a list of projects because they haven't given me one yet. And I'm not going to push.
Well, if you can't take care of the soup, they're certainly not going to let you take care of projects.
I'm happy to stay out of the way. Yeah. And for the record, the soup, that was just a programmatic change.
Oh,
they do it every year. This time every year. So it wasn't special. It was just... Okay, question on capital projects? Okay, not seeing any moving into the pool. So this year, so far, just as a side note, we're doing really well as far as our recruitment. We have plenty of folks come sign up, so we're fully staffed in the pool this year. We're also going to continue to look to try to repeat what we did last year. Last year, we were open a little later than normal. We had a few weekends, and we're going to see if we can't repeat that again this year.
Nice.
We're in discussions with the school for their swim team to use it in the wintertime.
Oh, good. Good.
So that's still an ongoing and developing project. I know Superintendent Tracer has a meeting next week, I think it is, with the school to kind of talk about some logistics of it and kind of those bigger picture things. So fingers crossed there. We think that's going to turn out good. That said, looking at the swimming pool, start on page 140. You'll see a couple of things we increased. I'll back up. I'll cover that one. So, resources, again, lines 12 and 13, that's their portion of the general revenue and property taxes. You'll see on line 24, we've had a little bit of an increase in wages. Part of that is because we're trying to extend out like we did last year. So, we, you know, add a little bit more because hopefully we'll get a little more. Now, we actually have some returning folks, so we're seeing some increases. Starting to look like more like the program of old, so it's been nice to see, because the pool program got pretty messed up with the pandemic and all the shutdowns and all that just wrecked our normal cycle. So it's nice to see that cycle starting to come back. From an M&S standpoint, line 33, electricity, you'll see that's gone up a bit, just because number one is just the cost increase, but also part of it, if we're going to stay open later, especially if we're going to be doing in the winter with the swim team, you know, we're going to spend a little more there, which then ties to line 40, same reason. Line 40, that's usually our biggest cost increase, trying to keep the pool heated during that time. There is some potential, I'm kind of stealing Superintendent Tracer's thunder a little bit, but that there may be a potential for either the school or the city to acquire a cover that would go over the pool during that winter time there for the use of for the swim team, which would help keep the heating costs down and their program.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so definitely some interesting potential there for sure.
Good.
And of course, I heard quite a bit about that. So on both sides, I got it both at work and when I got home. Overall, there's kind of that bit. You'll notice page 141, line 56, that went from down from 7,500 to 2,500. Again, that's just because we're getting into what it should be. We're starting to get caught up on the maintenance projects, so we're kind of getting into that rebuild mode for the fund. Questions on the pool?
Do we know, Jason, just a quick question. Sure. Just approximately, how many kids or families or something went through the pool last year? Maybe it's here, I just didn't see it.
So if you look on page 136.
Oh, yeah, right there in front of me.
Top of the page there.
That was really neat, yeah.
Yeah, so Yeah, we're about, you know, we're getting back, we're seeing more emission sales than we have in the past, quite honestly. So, which is quite, really, I think, is a reflection of Jeremy's enthusiasm for the pool, things we're doing to it, just the energy that's going back into it and bringing the community along with it. And so we're just starting to see more that way.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, that's why I'm staying out of the way, letting him do his thing on the pool, because he seems to be hitting the right
area, the right thing.
And I know he's got some other projects in his, you know, in his mind's eye that he's going to be working with the committee on. And, but yeah, it's, we're seeing it in the usage for sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, I'll add before we leave pool that when I started on the budget committee, we fought to get lawn chairs for the pool. So I'm just so happy to see my mighty little pool doing so well and having lawn chairs. And it's just a great place to go during the summer. And I just really appreciate all the effort that's going into it. It's definitely a community spotlight. So thank you.
Watching the kids play on the new grassy mound there on the inside. That's, you know, simple little addition, but a huge impact that it's had.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome.
Any idea when the summer swim class schedule will come out?
So we're right now working on training up the guards. Typically we wait to see how many actually make it through to get qualified, and then we'll base the schedule based on that. So I would say probably the next 3 or 4 weeks we'll see that, if not sooner. Because I know we've got training classes started here pretty soon.
Good, good, good.
Okay, questions on the pool, we'll bounce over to the library, starting on page 143. Pretty solid statistics as far as performance indicators over the last several years. We're starting to see more of a usage, especially kind of after that COVID lockdown bit, that, you know, we're starting to see a lot of our community services business is starting to pick up on, so to speak. In the library this year, we have, so I'm on page, library page 149. So right now we have a full-time librarian, and we got the request in, and it's in the budget for going up to a 20-hour a week part-time help. This is part of the driver of what caused me to take money from the senior center, is to fund this piece. It's not a long-term stable option. I'll be working with the library to find a path that is more sustainable for us going forward. We got kind of a little carried away. I have talked with the library board on it. Of course, nobody's happy to have less staffing in the end. No, nobody likes that. But we're all kind of on that same page of understanding financial sustainability of the program. So that said, you'll see on line 24, the increase over the last couple of years. Because we've got to remember, originally, the librarian role was 3/4 time. And so we've gone from a 3/4 time, 0.75 FTE, to 1.5. We've doubled over the last couple of years, staffing in the library. While it's awesome because we got the programs and we're growing and doing all these great things, it's just not long-term sustainable, the 0.5 FTE aspect of it. We're working with library staff to kind of figure out, and the board, I've started attending and I will continue to attend their meetings to help them come up with a better way to get where they want to be in the end. Because it's trying to, where we got kind of a mismatch in gears is funding for programs versus funding for long-term staff. Really what they're wanting to do is have more programs. There's different ways to fund that, whether it's through grants, whether it's through intern, there's a lot of other library resources for those programmatic specific things. So it's just kind of helping them retune to that process. from the average person going into the library, they'll never notice the difference. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the day. Because we're starting to see our volunteers do more too. Again, you know, back to that COVID, having volunteers getting more involved. Understand that's kind of where, if you want long-term continuous, that's kind of the path that we need to work on, is building that up and finding ways to fund the specific programs they would like to see.
So you're talking about the difference between three-quarter time and 1.5 time?
Correct. I think the 1.0 is justifiable and sustainable long-term. The 0.5 is not.
Okay. What approximate round figure, what is that?
The 0.5 is going to be between 30 and 50K. End of the day. Trying to take all the ripple effect of it. So, and that's usually about what we have in the senior center is that, the 30 to 50,000. So, that said, going through, you'll see line 24 on page 149, we went from 81,200 to 108,400. And because of the staffing increase, you'll see line 27 went from 26 to 34,000. It's one of those ripples that I was talking about.
Yeah. And what you're seeing, the increase from 81 to 108 is the 0.5?
Is going from 0.25 to 0.5.
Oh, okay.
The 75, or in that 81 is the 0.25 right now.
Oh, okay. That's what I was getting confused on,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep, no, it's, when we get to that 0.5, now you're starting to have to do benefits and these other things that are
right.
All part of that.
Right, okay.
So.
But that's a decrease from the actual 2020-21.
Yep, and that was part of our course correction to get the department to be balanced again, was to go
okay.
from.
I remember that
from
part.
The 1.5
yeah.
down
right.
to the 0.75.
Okay, okay.
Yep.
Got it.
And we're not quite back to where we were. And keeping in mind, the 0.5 at that point in time was someone had been this, with the city forever.
Yes,
so
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where we see it's a little different. But,
okay.
Yep.
Or I have just a, and I don't even know if you know, but it seems that so many of the libraries now are going all volunteer because some of the small cities can't afford to keep a library going. And is that kind of a thing that's happening or just in smaller cities?
Well, I would point to, if you look at City Eugene has a, is we're dealing with a $15 million shortfall
yeah.
in their budget.
That's right.
One of the things they're looking at reducing is library from their paid staff. It is more common to see your libraries to be volunteer run. Mm. That is, it is the trend you see. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. It just, I mean, your schools don't even have librarians anymore.
Well, that's the thing that I just couldn't believe.
Mm.
They don't, and it's like,
yeah. You know, they're IAs, classified staff that work in the library, but they're not librarians. And you see, like I said, it's just that trend. And, that's just the trend you see. It's more and more common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well,
at some point, I mean, it's back to that. You only have so many dollars.
Exactly.
You get,
mm-hmm.
still get what needs to be done. And,
yeah.
and sometimes you look at things like that and saying, okay, this is something that can be done by volunteers.
Sure.
Previous place I worked was City of Amity, and the three ladies that ran that library there were all three retired school librarians.
Uh-huh.
Now, you talk about a trio you didn't mess with, holy cow. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, we're like that. But they had their building, and they ran their program, and it was a great little library. It's
yeah.
still open today,
yeah.
and it's still volunteer run.
Yeah, well,
so.
Maybe get the word out that that's some of them might volunteer.
Yeah, that's okay. And that's really over this next year's focus from staff standpoint is working on to continue to build the volunteer program. There's just no other way to go at this point. I mean,
that's right.
It
is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is, exactly.
You know, and it's like I was talking with the library board, maybe it's just not all within the library. Maybe it's volunteering somewhere else to reduce the resource needs in other programs. Within community services, that then you can shift. But it either way, it still takes volunteerism somewhere.
Right. That's for sure, yeah.
So.
Okie doke, thank you. I think.
Not what I wanted to have to say, but
yeah, no, that's it's best that we know, you know, what's going on. So.
And you will see the program, you know, yeah, it's just coming up with, the nice thing is having with the library board being as passionate as they are about it.
And they are. Boy,
yeah,
they are.
I'm sure they will find a way. I have no doubt in my mind. That's why I've decided to help them more, to help gear them in that direction, to use that energy to get what they really were trying to do.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, unless there's questions on the main fund, I will bounce to page 151 for the capital projects. So, for the library, we're coming up, so you'll see on lines 81 and 83, we've got about $35,000 budgeted. We're getting to, we didn't get the interior painted this year, so we're carrying that over because it's time to paint the inside and it's time to start looking at some carpet replacement, just end of life stuff. Part of me, and that's that $25,000 in the CEP projects. So just building maintenance is time to do in there. Trying to paint the interior of the library is really not simple. It's tricky on a good day.
I can't imagine.
We've got some contractors that are willing to work with us, but we're going to be waiting until after festival because Michelle wants to make sure the library is open during festival. So. Mm. But then trying to get the volunteers in, get the books back, get them all moved, get everything taped off, paint, and then put everything back. So it's a bit of work. Questions? Okay. Page 152, 153. It's just the summary of all of the capital projects funds that are for each of the departments that we've already gone over, minus parks. Gary will go over that next week. So, just a moment here. I forgot to mark a page. Not a market. We're going to go to page 229.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, internal services. Okay, so this is the internal services department. So for Junction City, that really means this is our building maintenance, fleet maintenance, and computers, IT. This is a department that does that work. And all of the costs get budgeted through here. So just kind of go through it. I'll start on page 232. You'll see the resources and the personal services. Personal services, line 11 through 18. We're not making any changes this year. There's two FTEs in there. We have Jacob, who does our IT work citywide, and Chad, who does the building maintenance and the fleet scheduling and coordination. You start getting in, starting with basically lines 22 all the way through line 60. These are costs for each department. So if a garbage truck blows a transmission, that gets coded out of line 27. So that's basically, you know, where we record the expenses for those activities for each department is there. These will tie right directly back to their department. You'll see a line item in their materials and services that matches up with this. So it's just literally, this is where we land the bills, and then it gets billed back out to the department. Department pays their bill, we move on. Same for building maintenance and IT services. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So then starting with line 64 is the cost to actually run the department on page 233. Pretty much holding the line, the only thing that really changed was line 64 on the admin service charges. And line 87 is our transfer. It's pretty much 22.5 is pretty much the much the bare bones transfer, because you have a couple of different vehicles, but a lot of equipment that goes into, especially like on the IT side or on the building maintenance automotive side, that needs to be maintained and replaced on a regular basis. So that 22.5 is transferred to build up the reserve fund for that. And I didn't really go over the maintenance charges, just because each department's going to cover those as part of their budget. So if there are questions, I can do my best to answer those. Questions on internal services so far? Making sense to everybody? Okay. Page 234 is their capital project fund. So again, just showing. You have about 10,000 capital projects. There are some equipment replacement that needs to be done on the computer side, IT side. That's in that 10,000. Questions on the capital projects funds? Pretty dry, pretty straightforward. Okay. And with that, I'm going to skip to page 237, state revenue sharing. So kind of the highlights to point out, line 7 is projects to be determined by the council. That line started, goodness, a number of years ago, but basically we tried to stick a chunk of change in there for projects that come up through the year that the council can choose to either fund or not. Line 11, Superintendent Tracer is slowly but surely spending the money for the pool project. He's getting there. This 24.5 is a remainder that he hasn't spent out of the 75 that was budgeted this year. And then line 16 is the 15K transfer to the community center fund. Questions?
Yeah, can you give us an idea of what would be used up line 7 for? Or has it been used in the past?
Rarely gets used. So, well, I'll use this example because I just, the new city hall building. We hadn't anticipated on replacing the roof on it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any funding allocated for it. Came to the council, asked for that project to be funded out of there. From staff standpoint, these types of projects are one-time funding type projects. I think in years past, the body cam and tasers were purchased out of here at one point in time, going back a number of years. It's those kinds of, those are probably two of the most current ones. But it's that one-time project type stuff. There's two requests to go before council yet. I guess spoilers, right? The council's going to see here in the next month the festival asking for help funding for the new speakers downtown.
Oh, okay.
Because they need to get those off the pole because Pacific Power is saying it's time to do that. And they're falling apart, minor detail.
Right.
So that's, again, that's a community organization asking for one-time help with the project.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. What the cover for the pool? How would you fund that?
Pool projects right there.
Yeah, there's a pool projects. It's looking at the schools, looking at actually purchasing the cover, not the city. Okay. But if we did, we've got areas within the pool capital we could do that, or we could come and ask. That would be a legitimate, to me, from staff standpoint, that would be a legitimate ask for this particular fund, because it's a one-time.
Could the state revenue sharing, could it be used for, if the painting of the library, it would be a one-time thing? Could you do that? I mean,
we already have funding budgeted for it, so I'm not as...
Okay.
But it would, that type of project, type for sure, would be, that is that concept. Of that one time,
Would it kind of be like the sign, the new sign that was went out about 6 months ago? Sign, read the board sign?
Mm-hmm. That again, it's another one time project. City had the RTMP money set aside for that particular project. Yeah. But yeah, it's that kind of concept.
Issues related to homelessness, they may not be one time. So like electricity, the hookups over there that we might have to pay.
That's a monthly bill.
Yeah.
And so I'm not comfortable I mean, ultimately, the council could decide to do whatever it wants, but
I'm trying to push the threshold. I just want to know the threshold.
Yeah, we wouldn't, from a staff standpoint, we wouldn't bring that forward as a, hey, here, could we take state revenue sharing money to pay the little monthly?
It would be nice to use state money to take care of that issue, since it's a statewide issue, but obviously, we can't.
Yeah.
But could we, like the landscaping at the new?
Sure.
Okay, that kind of stuff.
It's typically like a one-time capital project type thing.
Yeah.
Try to avoid recurring bills, or try to avoid staffing. I've seen proposals for that over the years, you know, try to avoid those things that encumber it every year, you know, that way. One-time things. That's kind of how this grant program, the assistance program, started, is every year, as part of this process and the council's process, approves setting aside $15,000 in state revenue sharing, up to $15,000, to help the, with the summer camp.
Kids, yeah.
Other questions?
Good. Hearing any? Health insurance fund, again, this is, for a lot of us, we're probably, you know, aware of the history, but as a quick recap, this fund was started by the APSME employees a number of years ago, that they set aside money to help offset insurance costs. So really, the use of this fund is governed by the APSME contract. So we don't really do anything with it, we leave it alone, it's not, it's their money, their program deals with that. You notice we really haven't spent anything out of it over the years because we haven't hit the threshold triggers for offset of insurance costs, but that's what this is ultimately for. Unless there's questions, I'll just keep chugging along here to the Community Development Revolving Loan Fund on page 239. So, not a lot happening with this fund, quite honestly. We continue to budget kind of the same we did last year. There's $718,000 available for the loan program. You'll see line 22. That's the RTMP money that I was talking about that we used for the reader board, new reader board. Mm. That's where that kind of gets tucked away now. You'll see every year, line 4 shows the money that comes in for that line.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Line 3, Oregon Corona Relief Grant.
Yep. So that was back during, with the pandemic. The city used, basically it was the Economic Development Programs line 21, for the city's business pandemic program. And we got some grant reimbursements for that, and that's what came in on that line, on line 3. Was the reimbursements for the program through the state. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, this looked like beer drinking.
Oh, yeah, I get you. I look at the guy who gave that line the title, probably doesn't drink a lot of beer, so it probably didn't dawn on him. We're buying the federal government on that one.
No, it's called Corona before COVID-19.
So, basically this fund is pretty much governed by the RLF committee. In reports to council. We continue to budget the same amount, so that way if something comes up, the program has the funds to do what it needs to do. And I will note, you'll continue to see on line 5 that the water continues to pay their loan. That money's not for too much longer. It's got a couple more years and that loan's going to be paid off. So. Questions on RLF? Okay, the last one I have is page 240, Building Replacement Reserve Fund. This is the fund we've been using to work on the new City Hall building. We continue to put money in there to build it back up for whatever the next project is. Quite honestly, that line 7, for, in the proposed year, that $40,000 will more than likely get used to finish the project next door. I hope that'll be enough, we'll see for sure, but it'll get us going that direction, but that's the intent at this point. Questions? That's all I've got.
Okay. Other business? So that everyone on the committee knows what to review next week. Next week, is that going to, this going to be Public Works, is that correct?
Public Works, Water, Sewer, Street, Sanitation, Building, Planning, and Public Works Administration.
Okay.
Whole bunch.
May 4th?
Yeah, next meeting is scheduled for May 4th.
I believe May.
Yeah. So Gary will be back to present that.
Yes.
And we normally do that earlier, but he's been off because of surgery. And we just saved him. We saved the best to the last, right?
There you go.
That's right.
I just want to, you know, I was gone on vacation for a few weeks and just appreciate the, both Kara and the committee for doing a job well done. I said, I came back, talked to Mike, and everything was as I thought it would be, right on schedule, so.
Of course.
I appreciate that. Anything else from anybody on the committee this evening?
We could save money by not turning on the air conditioning yet.
At least that's through your freezer.
It's JD.
Yeah. At least we know it works, right?
It works too well.
Okay, so I will recess the budget committee. And again, our next meeting is on Thursday, May 4th at 6:30. Thank you.
Recording stopped.